This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank Michelle Benner. She must have thought I wanted to pretend I was still in Halonga on the mission trip today. It is good to be home. When we began this 40 Days of Love that we conclude our sermon series today in the small groups this next week, there was coincidentally a pastor in Texas, it was in the news, you might have seen it, who had done a marriage renewal series that he was called the 7 Days of Love. And the reason it was in the press is because every husband and wife who were a part of it were supposed to be intimate with each other every day of those 7 days. Well, a couple in our parish was aware of this series. I won't say their names. But when I told them that I was going to do the 40 days of love, the wife got this horrified look on her face, and the man was very excited. Our theme today is love endures, but in a different way. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, that talks about the fact that love never ends. It endures. It comes from the French word that means to harden. Not to harden a heart, but to harden as, say, for an example, your physical muscles. For those who were moving sand piles last week over here and then moving them back over here and then moving rock piles from here to there and then moving them back from here to there, your muscles get tight. Your body gets hardened and you get strong. And this is what we mean internally when we talk about love enduring. We have incredible examples through our own lives of people who endured. I read this past week about Michael Jordan, probably the greatest basketball player who ever lived. I never knew that he had been cut from his high school basketball team because at that time they thought he wasn't good enough. He endured. You probably all know the story of Abraham Lincoln. 28 years, he had an incredible journey. He lost his job in 1832. He was defeated running for state legislature. Correspondingly, after that, he failed in business. His sweetheart died. He had a nervous breakdown. He was defeated in succession for first Speaker of the House, then lost the nomination to Congress. He was rejected as a land officer. He was defeated for the U.S. Senate. He was defeated in a nomination for Vice President, defeated again for U.S. Senate. And then 28 years later, in 1860, elected President of the United States. He endured. When we were in the Dominican this past week, and the new priest at Halonga, Father Ramon, was there, in our closing celebration on Friday night, he talked a bit about enduring. He talked to us about the fact that when he came to Halonga and saw the mess and the chaos, and there was so much to be done to make the bakery a reality, he thought, it's just a dream. How's it ever going to happen? But then he said, through what happened, largely through the efforts of St. Joseph, before, during, and now after our trip there, he said, I can already smell the bread. It's about endurance. We are entering into the holiest week of our church year. We are going to be given the greatest example of love's endurance ever known to humankind. The love of Jesus for us. Mark Twain was quoted as once saying, "You don't really understand perfect love until you've been married at least 25 years. Until you have been through the ups and the downs, and to experience what it means sometimes just to hang on. this week in the materials for 40 Days of Love, it talks about the deadly D's of relationships. Those things that are threats to our endurance. Difficulties, disagreements, differences, discord, disappointment, defeat, dead ends, depression, delay, doubt, distance, death, debt, demands, difficulties. All not easy things to overcome. We read this week in Corinthians, verse 7. Love never stops being patient, never stops believing, never stops hoping, never gives up. Today, as we conclude our series, we look at those four aspects of love. Love has incredible patience, just like that man had with the donkey who didn't want to move this morning. We will see this week, in the example that Jesus gives to us, a love that never stops being patient. We will see a Jesus who is falsely accused, physically hurt, tortured, emotionally damaged when his own friends desert him. And yet, love, personified in Jesus, never stops being patient. The word in the Bible in Greek for patient is the same word that literally means covered with a roof. Would any of us buy a house without a roof on it? Of course not. We'd have no protection from the winds and the rain. A roof covers us and protects us. And so too, a patient kind of love does just that. We looked a couple weeks ago about demanding and difficult and even destructive people. I think for the most part, people who end up being that unto us don't do it on purpose. People who are irritating or obnoxious to us probably for the most part aren't doing it on purpose. I read about a scientific thing with bullfrogs. And if you're like our house, where at some point of the year you hear them croaking all night long and it drives you absolutely nuts, there's some mechanism built into that bullfrog that when they start croaking, it shuts off their ears so they can't hear their own croaking. I think that's a lot like people. They don't try to be obnoxious or irritating. They don't hear it themselves. And so it calls for us to be patient kind of people. I can give you two perfect examples of that. My wife is incredibly patient with me. There are two times in the week where it manifests itself. Saturday afternoon. On Saturdays, I am starting to get nervous about the sermon that I have to finish up that I will be delivering four times in the next 24 hours. And I end up having what is called PMS, pre-message syndrome. I get very cranky and irritable. If you come to my office on Saturday afternoon, you've already experienced the monster that comes to the door. I need to learn to be more patient. And then there's Monday morning, where after giving it all on Sunday and Saturday, I don't want to have any significant conversation. I just want to be for a little bit. The purpose-driven materials this week in the small groups will talk about the need for us to recharge ourselves physically, emotionally, and spiritually. If we do not do that, we can't have that patient kind of love. I know when I start to get cranky, several Monday mornings in a row, I'm always going to get that question from my wife when she say, now, when are you going on that retreat? We all need to be recharged. We need to understand that if we are to be patient in love. Secondly, love always believes. Do you remember when we looked at faith? Not as the opposite of doubt, but the opposite of fear. And as we read in 1 John, perfect love casts out all fear. There is no fear in love. If we were to metaphorically put people into a box and say there's three kind of people in this world, we could say there are gullible people who believe anything, cynics who believe nothing, and then there are healthy people, people who love. If you want to choose what type of person you want to be, I suggest you look at the scientific facts. Study after study shows that trusting people are consistently less gullible. They have a higher IQ. The more trusting you are, the higher your IQ tends to be. And study after study shows that trusting people live happier lives. The fact is, it is always better to trust too much than too little. The words of Jesus himself, "Be innocent as doves, but wise as serpents." I'm sure you've had the experience of either being on a team or being a coach. And one of the kids either drops the ball, fumbles the ball, strikes out, messes up. The best way to help that child is to put them right back in the game. To trust them so that they don't develop a phobia that, oh, I'm going to mess up again. I'm going to drop the ball again. Sure, you dropped it, but everybody does. Now go out there and try again. I trust you. That's what God does with us. So we need to do with each other. Thirdly, lasting love expects the best. The wisest thing in my corporate career I think a boss ever told me was this. I was getting ready to do a quality presentation to the corporate mucky mucks, and she pulled me aside and she said to me, "Expect the best, but prepare for the worst." Expect the best. Love always expects the best. The poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote, "Whoever loves believes in miracles. Believe in the impossible." These 19 people did some things this past week they've never done before. Had I told them everything they were getting themselves into, I don't think there would have been many who would have gone on this mission trip. But they did. And they did miraculous things. I remember reading a story about Bruce Wilkinson, the author of The Prayer of Jabez that we all read several years ago. And he tells the story of being called to be a college professor for a class. And the person that hired him told him, "And guess what? You've got the A-track students." And so he went into it with that as the idea, and so he expected the best. And his expectations for these students were incredibly high. And they lived up to those expectations. And the time came for the graduation ceremony, and he's sitting up there on the stand where the students are coming one by one to get their diplomas, and he reaches over to the department head next to him and says, "You know, I am so glad that I got the A-track students. I hope I get them again next year." And the department head looks at him and says, "We don't have an A-track. We cut that stuff out years ago." And so Bruce goes and he does some research and he finds out two things. He finds out that indeed there was no A-track. These students were just like all the others. But because he had expected the best, they outperformed by two grade levels every other class. Expect the best. How do we set each other up? Do we just nag and nag? Or do we look for the potentiality that is there? What we might be. What that other person can be. It has a lot to do with not neglecting each other. Visualizing their potential. Seizing the moment. If you want your significant other to treat you like a king or a queen, then treat them like a king or a queen. Rick Warren gives this poem, anonymous author, but I think it makes the point. "If I knew it was the last time I'd see you fall asleep, I tuck you in more tightly and pray your soul to keep. If I knew it was the last time I'd see you out the door, I'd hug and kiss you one more time and call you back for more. If I knew it was the last time I'd get to share your day, I know that I'd make certain it didn't slip away. We assume we'll have tomorrow to correct an oversight, that we'll always have another chance to make everything all right, that there will always be another day to say that I love you. There will always be another chance to ask, what can I do? But just in case I might be wrong, and today is all I get, I want to say I love you so that you will not forget. Tomorrow is not promised that we'll see another night. Today could be my last chance to love and hold you tight. Instead of waiting for tomorrow, show your love somehow. For if tomorrow never comes, you'll wish you'd done it now. That you didn't take the extra time for a smile, a hug, or a kiss. Instead, you were too busy for the one that you now miss. Hold your loved one close today and whisper in their ear. Tell them that you love them and why you hold them dear. Say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You're the best, it's okay. So if tomorrow never comes, you'll not regret today. Lastly, love never gives up. Love endures the worst. It is determined, diligent, resolute, stubborn. It will not give up. I suppose you have heard the story of Winston Churchill, who was asked to give a graduation address. And after he had done those incredible things, leading the people of his country in England through the trials of World War II, he got up to the podium for his commencement address and said the following: never give up. Never, 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 never give up. And then he sat down. Understanding what he had led and gone through, it has become one of the most oft-quoted commencement addresses ever. Love never quits. Shortly after I came here to St. Joseph's, I had the opportunity to go to Saddleback Church with Bill Swaney, and we went to a conference there. In the first sermon I ever heard Rick Warren preached, he quoted this poem that has stuck with me to this day. I want to let go, but I won't let go. There are battles to fight by day and by night for God and the right, and I will never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I'm sick, 'tis true, and worried and blue, and worn through and through, but I won't let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I will never yield. What? Lay down in the field? Surrender my shield? No, I will never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. May this be my song mid legions of wrong. Oh God, keep me strong. But I'll never let go. Learning to love is the single greatest lesson in life. I don't know if you are aware of it, but when we began this 40 Days of Love series, Father William and Sherry Thomas took on the task of creating behind the altar what seemed to be just random placements of the word love. And after we have looked at all of those aspects of love for 40 days, and we entered into this Holy Week, we see what the summation of love is. It is the cross. There has never been and will never be a more perfect expression of that love than what we share in this week in realizing the incredible gift of Jesus' life, given in love for us. We had the incredible opportunity on this trip, for the first time, to have someone who was so fluent in Spanish, Marta Mancuso, that she became our communicator. You see, in years past, we had always lost a lot of time because we would have to try to get somebody to do hand motions or whatever to help them to understand what we were trying to say, and likewise, they would have to do the same to us. And a lot got lost in the translation. This time we have somebody that spoke the language. Take that over into what Jesus does for us. Throughout history, God tried to communicate how much He loved us. From Adam and Eve through the prophets and on down throughout the ages, and nobody could understand it totally to respond to it. And so, God sent someone who spoke the language. Sent us Jesus. I'd like to end our 40 days with a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13 that puts it in the aspect of how much God loves each one of us. Because God loves me, He is slow to lose patience with me. Because God loves me, He takes the circumstances of my life and He uses them in a constructive way for my growth. Because God loves me, He does not treat me as an object to be possessed or manipulated. Because God loves me, He has no need to impress me with how great and powerful He is, because He's God. Nor does He belittle me as His child in order to show me how important He is. Because God loves me, He is for me. And He wants to see me mature and develop in His love. Because God loves me, He does not keep score of all my sins and then beat me over the head with them whenever He gets the chance. This is the real secret to lasting love. Letting God's love through Jesus flow through us. May our attitude be the same as Jesus. A servant's love for all.